praise team comes back up on stage for a moment, we'd like to sing a song, Michael. There's been brought to our attention by Brother Jim, our family minister, that there's a need of a friend of the church, a need of a friend that's in need of some water. And so therefore, Jesus says, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask our deacons if they'd come forth and to take up a love offering this morning. And while they are taking up this love offering, we're going to share together with us. As y'all come up, then we'll have a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, you said that when we have needs, we come to you. And Father, you speak to the hearts of the body of Christ. And Lord, we want to do what you have taught us in the New Testament. That is to give from our hearts to help others. And so God, this need's been brought before your church family. So today, Lord, we ask the blessings upon those who are given, but greater, Lord, we ask the blessing upon the recipient that you would help during this moment, during this time of need. Thank you for the body of Christ joined together in meeting needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing that with us. Wrap me in your arms.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Sing it again.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
One more time. Bow our heads this morning, if you would. Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. And Father, we're so thankful that your Spirit dwells with us here this morning. And Father, I thank that your Spirit is a spirit of freedom. And it's a spirit of healing. And anything that we can ask, Father, desires of our hearts, Father. And I thank you this morning, Lord, that we're able to help, Father, the needy. And Father, I thank you this morning that there's just love in this place, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that you've guided in here. And Father, I thank you for their hearts that are crying out. For you see the need, Lord. We don't have to see it, but you see it. So Father, we thank you this morning for the hearts that are crying out. And for the revival, Lord, that we're praying for revival in this land, in this America. Lord, we see so much tragedy in our community and in America. But Father, we're crying out to you, Father. You say if we turn from our wicked ways and pray, you'll heal our land. So Father, right now we're praying to you because there's no other answer. And Father, we cover our children in our community, Lord. The future of our nation, Lord, help us to instill the Word of God. It doesn't lie. It's an anchor in the storm in their hearts, Father, that they will never turn away from it. So, Father, I thank you this morning as we get ready to dismiss the children. The children will grasp onto the Word this morning and take it with them for the rest of their life. And, Lord, as Pastor brings the Word this morning, Lord, you've hooked him up for a reason. And you've given this Word for a reason. So, Father, we're going to take to it today. And we give you all the praise this morning for everything that you're doing. And Father, we thank you for dying on the cross, for that blood that set us free. And we thank you, Father. In your precious name we pray. And we all say, amen. Amen. Okay, kids, 5 years old to 12 years old, if you would, in an orderly manner, let's line up and go to class. All right. Good group of kids this morning. As Mama used to say, get my hickory ready. Does anybody know what a hickory is? Of course you do. Okay. Man, that's what I'm talking. No, don't show me.
What a day. What a day. It's a good day.
Amen.
We believe that Jesus Christ is here. We believe that Jesus Christ loves people.
Amen.
And you know, one thing that's interesting is we get ready for a perfect day. Have you ever played a perfect game? A perfect game. Well, in the world of baseball, what perfect game means is that when a pitcher's out there pitching, and nobody makes it to first base, that's a perfect game. And so therefore you could say, hey, look, I like to have a perfect game. Well, we're going to teach you this morning what God says about having it. And you may begin to ask yourself, well, can I really have a perfect game? Yes. Yes. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Let me give you a moment to turn there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Because sometimes I get so wrapped up with many different scriptures that I don't get us to the Word. And sometimes I get ahead of myself and don't give you time to get there. And it's kind of like in our small group this morning. In our small group this morning, I saw a verse in the Bible I'd never seen before. Now you say, have you ever read it? Sure I have. I've read it, but I've never seen it. And so there's a big difference right there. And so therefore, we want to think about a perfect game this morning. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, the Scripture says, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, He never would have asked us to be perfect if we couldn't be perfect. Now, when you think about perfection, we're not talking about sinless perfection. As long as we're in this body, we're going to have issues. Okay? In this body, we're going to sin. No excuse. Not the purpose, not the meaning. I don't want to ever sin again in my life. But I'm not crazy enough to know that I'm not going to. But I'm going to seek to live as though never to sin again. Perfect? Can you play the perfect game? Well, if you're going to play the perfect game now, we're going to have some rules. In fact, you got to play by the rules. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the Scripture says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So, if the law of the Lord is perfect, if you go by the Word, You've got perfect rules. You don't have to worry about, well, what are the rules? God wrote them out for us. And so therefore, if we play by the rules, then we can play the perfect game. Secondly, you got to listen to the coach. How is that? Psalm 18:32. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. God does. What does He do? He makes your way perfect. He kind of gives you that way. He gives you that way so that you can understand it and you can know how to travel. He's making a way for you. And if you'll listen to the coach, hey, He's going to tell you. So, what do you got to do? Two things. What do you got to do? Number one, you got to do what? You got to play by the rules. Number two, you got to what? You got to listen to the coach. And number three, do your best. Psalm 101, verse 6. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Did you capture that? He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Therefore, the Lord's telling you something very, very comfortable right there. You can walk in that perfect way. Now, a ball game. Wouldn't you like to pitch a... Let me carry you back. Let's go back to 1957. Does anybody know what happened in 1957? Well, you was born. Boy, that was a good year. She knows what happened. Do you know what happened the year that she was born? Well, maybe not. But in the year she was born, in Little League, the only perfect game that's ever been pitched was in 1957. It came from a scrawny group of kids who, the way they got started was they had to go out in this industrial city and they had to start moving rocks and glass and stones out of the way so that they could play baseball. The way it happened, they had homemade gloves. They had homemade balls. But something happened. Very, very unique. A group from Monterrey, Mexico, won the first Little League International title. Let's watch it.
Half-pint baseball with big league excitement and enthusiasm at Williamsport. Final game of the Little League World Series sees Monterrey, Mexico's 9-run wild in a 4-run fifth inning against La Mesa, California. Monterrey is the lightest, youngest, and shortest team in the round-robin series. Also the hottest. Playing home, he's safe. Monterey's Angel Macias pitched his team to victory, setting down 18 batters in order. A perfect game. The 88-pounder bats and pitches from either side and plays all nine positions. The biggest man in the Little League.
I thought that's pretty neat. Here he is. Set a record for how long? But you know, when you start thinking about a perfect game, one that's going to last, well, since 1957, what about a perfect game that will last forever? Wouldn't you like to be a part? Wouldn't you like to be on a team? Wouldn't you like to be on that group that won a perfect game? Well, you can be. How do you do that? Where's this perfect game going to take place? Well, it's not going to be in 1957, but this perfect game is going to take place... And those who play on the field of heaven. Yeah, what do you know about heaven? What do you know about it? In other words, if I ask you a series of questions, well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's go out to the ball field. And out there on the ball field, let's ask some of the players about heaven and see what they have to say. The first one, let's go to the pitcher. And let's ask the pitcher, hey, does heaven really exist? Does it really exist? And the answer is, yes. Heaven really exists. How do you know that? Because that's where Jesus went there, and Jesus came back. Jesus said in John 3, 12 and 13, He says, if I had told you earthly things, you do not believe me. How will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one ascended to heaven but he who came down from it. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus came down. The Bible, hey, just in Matthew alone, 70 times talks about heaven.
Amen.
70 times. And 54 out of the 66 books in the Bible talks about heaven. Well, where do you go back to? Go back to Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created what? Heavens and the earth. And then if you went over to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10, you would hear, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending down from heaven. So the picture comes up and says, I know heaven's real because Jesus was there and he came down and he told me about it. Well, let's go to the catcher. I'm going behind the plate now, and the catcher's getting ready. We want to know more about heaven. So let's ask the question, what is heaven like? Boy, if I were to ask you that question, what is heaven like? I think you could respond very quickly. As this catcher would say, heaven is a place where sin and suffering, death and tears have been removed and joy exists.
Amen.
Boy, isn't that neat? This catcher, when he stood up, he knew what he was talking about. Because Revelation 21, 3 and 4 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of man is the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 7 says, everlasting joy shall be theirs. Boy, that catcher got excited. It was more exciting than throwing out the man on second base when he said, everlasting joy, no tears in heaven, suffering, sorrow, death, it's gone. Well, let's go to the first base. First base. This guy's over there standing. And you may have asked him the question, what happens when you die? That's a legitimate question. What happens when you die? Guy on first base would say, we leave this body and this world that's been corrupted by sin, and we enter into a new place. A new place. Where is that? Maybe you've heard these words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long?
Forever.
Psalm 23. So you see, when we leave this body, we leave this old world that's been corrupted by sin, and we get to go to a brand new place. It's called heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Jesus told a guy who died on the cross, he said, surely I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. What's happening? What's happening? First base says, look, if I die today, I'm gone. But I know where I'm going. I'm going to a new place. Well, let's hurry over to second base. Second base, what will we do when we get there? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Some people say, well, I'm just going to get me a rocking chair and rock for about 10 billion years. Wrong answer. That's not going to happen. Are you going to rest? Yes. But let's listen. In heaven, when we get to heaven, we'll be like Jesus, singing, serving, and reigning over earth. There's going to be some activity going on. Boy, you're going to get to hear Mr. Bill sing like you ain't never heard Mr. Bill sing.
Amen.
And you know who he's going to sing a duet with? Miss Lee. Boy, that's going to be a trip, isn't it? I tell you what, let's do. Let's make a trio out of that. No, only Jesus knows that date. But you know what else that I learned? Jesus is going to be singing with them. He actually is. You're going to get to hear Jesus sing when in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet your love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wow. I've never heard Jesus sing. But then we're going to get to sing. You're going to be in the crowd. Because in Revelation chapter 5, there was a whole group of people with many angels and living creatures and elders and tens of thousands saying and singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, strength and honor, glory and blessings." Are you ready to cut loose on a song? Well, you better get ready. Get tuned up. Because we got some singing going on. Not singing. We Get to Heaven is going to be the southern version. We're going to have some singing going on, okay? Hey, it's in heaven. It's in heaven. Get ready. Get ready. Let's go to the shortstop. Man, this is a guy. He's a guy that feels those hot balls. I mean, when that ball starts flying out the shortstop, he's got to get it. He's got to get it quick. Well, all of a sudden, you may ask the shortstop, "Can we be sure we can go to heaven? Can we really be sure?" He says, "Yes. We can testify that God has given us eternal life, such found in 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Hey, what does he tell us? Can you be good enough? No. Can you work your way there? No. Can you sing your way there? No. Can you be in drama and get there? No. It's not going to get you there. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? Yeah. Okay. Got it? You got it? Okay. That's how you're going to get there. So now, Jesus says He is the way. And if you follow Him, He'll take you there. Huh. Well, you may think, how would you like to do this? A little bit gross. Okay, but hang in there with me. Let's just say you got a water purifier, okay? And in this water purifier, you got a gallon purified water to drink. All right, now, somebody comes along and gets one of these little tube things that you get a drop of water, okay? And you reach over there in the septic tank and you get a drop of water out of the septic tank and you put it into that gallon of purified water. You want a drink? No. See, you can live and do a wonderful good thing. You can be a gallon. But one drop of sewage mess up the whole gallon. One sin can mess up the whole tank. So therefore, we're not perfect. We've got to have somebody else. We have need of someone else. And what we find here, that need of someone else, we need Jesus. That's what the shortstop's telling us. But let's go to third base. Excuse me. Y'all know I get plugged up. But in third base, what difference does heaven make? Does it really make any difference in your life? Some people say, as long as I got my fire insurance, I don't care about nothing else. Well, folks, if your fire insurance is the only thing you care about, let me let you in a little secret. You're not going. Woo! That woke you up, didn't it? You're not going. Anyhow, what happens here? When we go to heaven, we change the way we live today and we have hope for a future tomorrow. 1 Peter 3:11 and 12 says, "Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue evil." What are you going to do? Turn away. But what happens in 1 Peter 3:14? He says, but even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats nor trouble. What he's saying right here is that, folks, if you think when you sign up for heaven and you get on the roster, you think it's going to be easy, the answer is think again. It's heaven's journey is not easy. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And only a few there be that find it. So what he's telling us right here, you may suffer for righteousness along the way. It's for real. It's the real deal. But if you want to go to heaven along the path, heaven is going to be suffering. Let's hurry up and go out in the right field. Do believers have an inheritance in heaven? Right now, do you really have an inheritance in heaven? And so, therefore, that's all right, brother. I'm good. I'm clear now. Do you have an inheritance in heaven? Is it waiting on you? Would, if you knew you had an inheritance in heaven, would it be a little bit sweeter? I think so. I think so. So, do you have anything? Children of God can have the hope of something better. 1 Peter 3:4 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's worth thinking about. You've got an inheritance. It's waiting on you. But you got to go to heaven to get it. If you don't go to heaven, you're not going to get the inheritance. Somebody had to die so that you can have the inheritance. And that somebody was someone. His name was Jesus Christ. Now, going out there in center field. Center field, he's the guy that catches that long ball. I mean, that one that really just goes out there high up in the air. And when it comes down, he's the man you're going to count on to snatch it. Is there a place for me in heaven? Change it around. Is there a place for you in heaven? Jesus said in John 14, 2 and 3, He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There's a place. Not only do you have an inheritance, but a place that's specially made for you. Hurry out into left field. Will I have a new body? Will I have a new body? Will this old body that's... you don't. Let me tell y'all, young whippersnapper something. When you get a little bit older, you get a part of a new race. You do. You really do. You get a part of a new race. And what's that race? Well, that pain leaves from your shoulder and it goes to your back. And then after a while, man, they have a party there and it leaves your back and goes to your foot. And then in the middle of the night, it just hits you and you got to come out of bed to stand on that foot. I'm telling you, when you get a little bit older, you get a part of a new race and they just kind of chase. They go around in circles. And it's neat. It's neat. But in heaven, I'll have a new body. In heaven, there'll be no racing going on. In heaven, the Scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly body, that is this body, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, where? Eternal in the heavens. Whoa, listen at that. Brand new body. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I can tell you this, that body is going to look like Jesus. And so, folks, if I'm like Jesus, that's good enough for me. Are you ready? You ready to sign up? Okay. Do you Are you ready to play a perfect game? Maybe we need some practice in order to play that perfect game. Can you play it? Yes, you can. Know a little bit more about heaven? Sure you do. Have a desire? Oh, yes. But let me carry you to Yorkville Heights. One glimpse at Yorkville Heights will help you to prepare for a perfect game. Y'all remember this clip in the video? I like it because that's Superman. You know, I like Superman. Y'all remember the story behind this? Anybody remember it? Who remembers it? Good. Morgan, tell us about it. Oh, boy. Wow. He played a perfect game, didn't he?
All right.
He raised his hand and said the purpose was about God. That's the exact same thing that Brother Tony told us about. The very opening of that clip. It's about God. Well, you know, something interesting to me is when you look at that picture right there, what do you see? Come on, just somebody help me. What do you see? An innocent child. An innocent child. Is that what y'all see? Wow. You know what I see in there? A happy child. Oh, absolutely. This little fella came up, kind of the end of it, and he said, I won the t-shirt. I loved it. Boy, he was smart. He wanted a picture. He wanted a picture made of it. There's this other adult lady came up to me during the day and said, take a picture of me. And so I took a picture of me. She said, now I'll see it in the packet. Okay. She wanted to see her picture. Well, I wasn't taking pictures for the packet, okay? But I was taking pictures for a perfect day. Well, inside of this perfect day, what this little guy tells me, he tells me how we can play the perfect game. So think about it. If you're going to play the perfect game, you got to get your head in there. In other words, you got to keep your head in the game. How do you do that? By the renewing. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, he says, give us a new mind. And he talks about the renewing of the mind. Hey, that old mind that was full of junk, you got to have a renewed mind. Present your body as a living sacrifice. It's reasonable. Go through the training. It's what God wants. And have a renewed mind. So if you're going to play the perfect game, your mind, you got to get your mind on track. Secondly, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whoa, what happened? You present your body as a living sacrifice. You have a renewing of the mind. And then you allow your mind to be like that of Jesus Christ. When you do that, when you get your head in the game, you're getting ready to play a perfect game. But not only that, but you got to get your heart in it. If your heart's not in the game, you're not going to win. It's not going to be perfect. Put your heart in it. In other words, in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, Jesus said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I say unto you, ye must be born again. Whoa, what's he telling us here? If you're going to put your heart in the game, you've got to have Jesus in it. Folks, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not even in the game. Jesus, put your heart in it. When you put your heart in it, you're going to discover something. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Put your heart in it. Jesus comes in. He gives you a body that's ready then to play the perfect game. Then think about it. What about your hands? Use your hands for good. That's what he wants. You're not in this game alone. The whole team has got to be in there. Use your hands. Jesus said it this way in Mark 12. He said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second's likened to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What are you doing with your hands? What are you doing with them? What are you doing with them? If I asked you to look at your hands right now, what would you see? Some would see warts. Some would see calluses. Some would see stains. Some would see hands that are just as smooth as they can be. Some would see rough hands. Look at your hands. What are they like? But then, not just looking at your hands, but why do they look that way? Are they lifted up to God? If they're lifted up to God, then are they reaching out to your neighbor? You see, if you're going to do the perfect game, it's not just one. It's not what I do here. It's what I do here and what I do here. See, there's no perfect flow if you're not here. It's got to come through. That's what he said. So when you think about your hands, what are you doing with them? Sometimes all we think about our hands is for feeding us. Some think all we think about our hands is for what we can play. But God says, what are you doing with your hands? A perfect game is you're going to use them. But then also, you've got to keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Believing is seeing. Well, I do not have to see to believe, but I have to believe to see. Know the difference? I don't have to see to believe, but I've got to believe to see. Keep your eyes open. Jesus said in Mark 10:26, He says, And they gathered with great astonishment, saying, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Look, can you see it? If you believe, then you can see. But if you don't believe, you'll never see it. You'll never see it. How did that work out? Well, one time there was a group that came to Jesus and they said, Is it right to heal people on the Sabbath day? And all of a sudden the crowd started gathering around. Jesus got angry. He did. He got angry with unbelief with these guys who was trying to put him, back him up against the wall. So Jesus said to that young man, He said, Stretch out your hands. And immediately he stretched out his hands and he was totally healed. With God, all things are possible. Can you see it? Can you believe it? You can play that perfect game. This young man, he saw it. He had the ability to look with his eyes. But then you've also got to listen to your coach. Listen. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You got to listen. Know Jesus, know the way. K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, N-O what? No way. No way. Jesus in John 14:6 said, I am the way. So when you began to look at it, it's interesting to all of me that the people were looking. Now, I see stuff sometimes that really stick out to me. People are always watching. People are looking for the way. And did you know little eyes are always watching? That little guy right there, it's hard. The guy in the gray, you see a little figure with a gray shirt with a black head? That little guy is standing right behind Jim and Wanda. You see the yellow shirts. Jim's big enough to see him. Okay, you see the yellow shirts. But this little guy was watching. He was watching Jim and Wanda. Isn't that so amazing? Little eyes are watching. You see that other group? Hey, The whole group, they were watching. You see that dark shadow in the back on the right? You know who that is? Me. That's right. Did y'all see that in the first picture? It was there. Somebody is always watching. Ever seen that you've looked at for the last few minutes came out of one picture? That's what God sees. God sees little eyes watching Jim and Wanda. God sees a whole group of people gathering around, and Scott, you were underneath that tent. I don't know what you were doing, but they came where you were. And in the shadow, there's people who are watching. What do? You get ready to go to heaven to play that perfect game. 52 years ago, 1957, in that Little League game, y'all remember that? Yeah, Angel, Marcia, after they won that game, they didn't go straight home. First thing they did, they by bus, they went to New York to see the Dodgers play. And then they were given $40. $40. They were given that by Macy's so they could go shopping. And then they made a stop in Washington, D.C. to meet President Dwight Eisenhower and Vice President Richard Nixon. Whoa! They got to go see these guys. But finally, they went home. And when they got home to Monterey, the records say they were met by hundreds of thousands of people in the street. Isn't that neat? This little team came up, handmade gloves, handmade balls. When they got there, Angel said, I said, all the doors open everywhere we went, somebody would point us out or want an autograph. A few years later, he said, people knew our names, and my name is Angel Marcius, champion child. I thought that was great. When we get to heaven, there's evidence that says we will be met by a large crowd. And when we get there, I'm going to say, Robert Gillis, champion child, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? What can you do this morning? What can you do? Well, here's what you can do. Join the team. You got to join up. You got to get on heaven's team. Two, you got to play the game of life. Nobody in the bleachers. If you're going to go to heaven, you got to be on the field. Obey the rules. Stay focused. And be a team player. Our coach, Jesus Christ, is inviting you to join the team today. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come believing that heaven is a real place for real people, believing that heaven was prepared for us, and believing that we have an inheritance there. And believing that when we join the team, that it's going to change our life. That we're going to live, Lord. We're going to be a team player in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray this morning that there'll be some that'll sign up. That they'll give their life to Jesus Christ. And say, I want to go to heaven. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to play ball. So, God, be with them. Those who are playing ball, Lord, help us to continue to think about the rules and stay focused. So we've got inheritance in front of us. And Lord, we want to do the best we can do. So God, guide us on. Lead us in. Help us to play the perfect game. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we just ask you simply, is your name on the roster? If your name's on heaven's roster, then you'll be ready. Join up, play by the rules, focus in, play the game. Jesus is calling. What is He asking you to do today? Let's stand together and sing.